It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Bishop Robert Morlino, who passed away on Saturday, led the Madison Diocese for 15 years. Working in a liberal part of the state, Morlino was known for his conservatism on political and doctrinal issues, including his views of the ongoing child sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. This hour, we reflect on Morlino's legacy, how he stood in relation to his contemporaries, and what his successor could mean for Catholicism in Wisconsin. Are you Catholic or formerly Catholic? Did you tend to agree or disagree with Bishop Morlino, and why? What are your hopes for the new bishop? Do you hope to see them carry on Bishop Morlino's legacy, or are you looking for change? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Father Stephen Avella is a Catholic priest and professor of history at Marquette University. Welcome back to the Morning Show.
Thank you, John. Nice to be with you.
First of all, tell us a little bit more about who Bishop Robert Morlino was.
Well, he's a son of East Coast Catholicism. He's from Scranton, and he was extremely proud of that. His father died early in his life, and he attended a Jesuit preparatory school in Scranton and then joined the Society of Jesus, the same order that sponsors Marquette University, and was a novice and carried through their formation. He received his undergraduate at Fordham. He got a M.A. in philosophy from the University of Notre Dame, my alma mater, and then he was educated at the Weston School of Theology in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So he had a fairly good academic background, and above all, that interesting Jesuit formation, which places a great emphasis on sharing the faith, explaining the faith, bringing the faith to people on the margins or who are perceived to be on the margins. And he left the Jesuits after his ordination and entered the Diocese of Kalamazoo. How he found common cause with Kalamazoo, I'm not quite sure. But he became a priest there. He was highly esteemed by his bishop and went on for a doctorate in moral theology in Rome at the Gregorian University and rector of the cathedral there in Kalamazoo, and then planned, as from what his official bio says, to be a seminary professor most of his life. He was going to go to the Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit, which would be, you know, kind of in keeping with someone of his academic pedigree and background. But then he was plucked by Pope John Paul II to become the Bishop of Helena, Montana. Now, that was a time, John Paul was very, very, very particular about who he appointed bishops. And it was a time when they thought they could put Midwestern bishops way out in the West, and it would all just kind of work. But he was there for only a few years, and then in 2003, he relocated to Madison, Wisconsin, where he was until his passing. A kind of a not extraordinary ecclesiastical career. At some point along the line, he must have impressed people in high places that he was capable and competent and could effectively teach the faith and manage, you know, the secular aspects of Episcopal administration.
Morlino served the Madison Diocese for 15 years. How did he shape the diocese? What was his influence?
Well, Madison's a young diocese, relatively speaking. It was only created after World War II. Parts of it had been under the Diocese of La Crosse, under Green Bay, and Milwaukee had been in charge of Madison. And the creation of that diocese was intended to kind of give the local bishop there an opportunity to be a sort of a go-between with state government. Now, I don't know how well that worked, but that Catholic concerns and Catholic interests could be effectively represented by having a bishop, someone of rank there, in the diocese of the capital city of the state. So he was only the fourth bishop of that diocese. The original bishop, William Patrick O'Connor, had been from Milwaukee here. He was a philosophy teacher, Bishop of Superior. Bishop Cletus F. O'Donnell, the second bishop, was really a rather politically astute man. He had been very high up in the ranks of the Archdiocese of Chicago. He'd been an auxiliary bishop and a chancery hand. He certainly represented the church very effectively there. William Bullock, Morlino's immediate predecessor, had come from Des Moines, kind of a lateral move from a Midwestern diocese to another Midwestern diocese. And then Morlino came, and Morlino put his stamp on Madison, I believe in keeping with what Pope John Paul expected of bishops at that time, that they be very firm on certain moral issues, particularly abortion, same-sex marriage, things of that nature, and also that, you know, they be rather orthodox on questions of women's ordination and also somewhat suspicious of the perceived liberalization of the church. Pope John Paul worried about the American church when he became pope. He believed and had heard from many Americans that the church here needed some discipline, some shaping up. And so his task was to replace bishops around the United States. And Morlino, who apparently, because of his Polish background, had some affinity with the Pope, and also because, you know, he was a rather strong person when it came to the kinds of doctrines that John Paul II valued and prioritized, he would be kind of a natural choice. And putting him in a rather famously liberal city like Madison, was, I think, in part intended to kind of accentuate the militance of the church in the wake of what they perceived to be some of the problems with modern society.
So Bishop Morlino was very conservative, and he was placed in a very liberal diocese. And what you're saying is that that was by design?
I would think so, yeah. I would think that you can see this in several other dioceses around the country that had what were considered liberal. And when I use that word liberal, you know, you got to be careful. Those terms are not easily applicable to Catholic bishops. But in cities and communities that had public reputations of being, you know, rather liberal, very, very, very prone or friendly to liberal politics, to liberal politicians, and also perhaps where their own local priests and others were perceived, I'm not saying this was the case, were perceived to be kind of out there, you know, that this place needed some tightening up, it needed some discipline, so on and so forth. And you have a number of these bishops appointed around the country. Robert Morlino would be one of them, perhaps a bit more outspoken, a bit more, you know, in your face about certain things, but he again reflects a trend that Pope John Paul II really started in the 80s and carried on until his death. Pope Benedict continued it to some degree. Pope Francis equally values authenticity, loyalty, a strong Catholic presence. But it's a matter of means and ends, mm-hmm. matter of means. How do you do this? Francis takes a different set of means to proclaim basically the same kinds of Catholic truths and Catholic identity issues that Morlino did.
Father Stephen Avella is a Catholic priest and professor of history at Marquette University. We're talking about the passing of Bishop Morlino and wondering what your thoughts are. If you're a Catholic or formerly a Catholic, did you tend to agree with Bishop Morlino? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues on The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Bishop Robert Morlino, who passed away on Saturday, led the Madison Diocese for 15 years. Working in a liberal part of the state, Morlino was known for his conservatism on political and doctrinal issues, including his views of the ongoing child sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. We reflect on Bishop Morlino's legacy, how he stood in relation to his contemporaries, and what his successor could mean for Catholicism in Wisconsin. wondering what you think about the passing of Bishop Morlino and what you are looking for in whoever is assigned this post next. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Father Stephen Avella is a Catholic priest and professor of history at Marquette University. He's with us to talk about this morning. Father Avella, some have used the term complicated to describe Bishop Morlino's legacy. He took some strong stances on the social issues of the day. How would you categorize his legacy?
Well, that's a perfect word. Complicated, complex, nuanced. Many of the things that are reported in the press, for example, his attitudes on homosexuality, his opposition to pro-choice politicians, some of his ecclesiastical reforms. He was a great devotee of the Latin Mass, which is now a feature of the life of a number of American Catholics. This experienced a big comeback with him. He did a lot of good, I hope, in bringing a lot of young men to serve as priests. This is one of the big crises of the church here in the U.S. is the shortage of priests worldwide, at least in some parts of the world. And recruiting young men to consider the priesthood, to discern a call to the priesthood, to go to school to study to be priests. He was quite successful in that. That's really kind of an enviable position to have. I read one commentator about him that his bark was worse than his bite, that he could sometimes be quite strident and quite, and make decisions that seemed unfair or unjust. But when you talk to him, when you got one-on-one with him, things were easily smoothed out, and his ideas and his intentions could become clearly, and they were not bad. He was trying to do the best he could in a situation. Being a bishop is a hell of a job. I don't know anybody in their right mind who would want it, because like any leadership position, you're going to win friends and you're going to win enemies. And Bishop Morlino did that. Now, again, he's a bit more sharp-etched in some of his positions and some of the things that he said and did. But that will go with the turf with whoever comes in after him. Whoever comes in, some are going to love him, some are not going to like him. Most are going to say, well, whatever, it doesn't really affect me in any meaningful way.
For those who are not part of the Catholic Church, what is the job of the bishop?
Well, first of all, he's kind of the leader, the spiritual leader of a territorial jurisdiction called a diocese. And he's the chief person in command. It is his responsibility to tend to the spiritual needs of his people. He does this through priests, through religious programs, through deacons, through others who have served the church. But he that's his primary job. We want to make sure that everybody has access to the Mass every Sunday. We want to make sure that people have access to confession, to the sacraments, to the channels of life that are important to us as Catholics. And we also want to make sure that they hear sound teaching, that their moral and ethical life is informed by the gospel, by the teachings of Jesus Christ and the tradition of the Catholic Church. So that's his primary task. Other things are added on. Of course, he's something of a CEO. Ultimate responsibility for finances come to him. Building, personnel decisions, administration of property. He's the official go-between between the church and civic officials, mayors, governors, others. He's kind of the touchstone person. And then he presides at ceremonies, not just religious ceremonies, but dedicatory ceremonies and other things that require the public visibility of the church. So it's a very demanding task. The men who take it are on the road a great bit, a great deal. They have to be good listening people. They have to listen to people very well. And they have to have a lot of stamina and a lot of energy. And they've got to have good health, which unfortunately poor Bishop Morlino
didn't seem to have there at the end. Must have been very exhausting for him.
We had a caller, Janice from New Berlin, who couldn't stay with us, but she called in to say that she hopes the next bishop will be more in line with Vatican II. Bishop Morlino stunted the growth of many Catholics in his community. That was Janice's comment. Father Avella, can you address that comment? And how tough a task does the next bishop face in balancing the traditions of Catholicism with changes in the modern world?
Well, yeah, that in effect is the mission of the Church, to make the gospel alive in every generation, to use the idiom, the language, the vocabulary of every time to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And that's really been one of the hallmarks of Catholic Church history. Sometimes it succeeded, sometimes it hasn't. We have a checkered history. With regards to Vatican II, if I could channel the late bishop, he'd probably say, no, I believed in the council. He's a product of the council. He came to intellectual maturity in the wake of Vatican II. He understood it. He understood its interpretation. And he would say, I interpret Vatican II one way, and I'm not in disobedience to the Vatican II. But others, with equally goodwill and with equal erudition and grasp of what the council stood for, would say, no, there's some things you did that really didn't advance the intent, the letter, or the spirit of Vatican Council II. This is a larger issue in the Church because there continue to be opposing interpretations of Vatican II that exist, particularly here in the American Church, but also in the European Church. The vision of Vatican II was enunciated by Pope John the 23rd, Pope St. John the 23rd, in his opening address, where he called not for new doctrines, not for new rules and regulations, but he said new ways of expressing the timeless truths of Christ, that the moment that he was saying this, the early 60s, was a time that was important for people to hear the message of Christ in a language and in a way they understood. He also called for reform of antiquated structures, and perhaps that's where the criticism of the New Berlin call, because Bishop Morlino seemed to readopt some of the old liturgical customs of yesteryear. I remember, I'm about the same age as Bishop Morlino, just a few years younger, and I remember that old Latin Mass, and very beautiful, very wonderful, but the transition to a new liturgy, which is where most Catholics meet the Church at the Sunday Mass, was really a profound and marvelous change, and many people's lives were truly transformed by it. And so to see going back to the Latin Mass as a positive good upset some of them. Again, I can see both sides. I can see the beauty, the appeal of the Latin Mass, particularly to some young people, not all. But I also, having been a priest for nearly 40 years, see what the power of the renewed, the transformed, the changed liturgy has done in the lives of people. And the council's direction there, to me, is quite clear.
What would be your best piece of advice for the next bishop who serves this diocese?
Go visit all the priests and the deacons. Hold listening sessions with people and listen to them, especially if they want to vent some anger or anxiety. Be aware of the anxiety. Bishop Morlino was very much loved by certain elements of the Diocese of Madison. I would say particularly some priests and almost all his seminarians. He was very good to them. They were very loyal to him. I think approaching them with love and understanding and trying to understand where they come from and what they want to say is very important. And then once you've listened, then take the steps to heal where wounds have been inflicted, to challenge where you think things need to go in certain areas. And then, you know, like most, the advice to most pastors when they take over a new parish, and forgive this if it, I don't mean it to offend, but a new pastor is told to change nothing but his underwear in the first couple of years that he's in a new parish. I would think roughly the same advice would apply to whoever Bishop Morlino's successor is.
Piano, piano, the Italians say. Slow down, slow down. Listen. Take the method. Learn the history of the diocese. It didn't start when you got there. And try to seek out people who are responsible, reliable people who have credible voices that can speak about the experience of Madison's Catholics. And then go forward. You've got to make decisions. You've got to keep the church going forward. You've got to put your mark on it, because it's your turn now to be in that bishop's chair.
Father Stephen Avella is a Catholic priest and professor of history at Marquette University. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Coming up next, we talk about prison labor. Some people are calling it a modern form of legalized slavery. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson.